You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets. Sandy Alderson met with the media on Monday, and I'm going to go through his comments in the first half of the podcast today, and later on in the second half, I'm going to talk about George Springer and go through the numbers throughout his career. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMirageOnline.com. Now, Sandy Alderson meeting with the media was necessitated by one key thing. What is going on with this search for a president of baseball operations? And as the reports began to trickle out that they might not hire one, Alderson was quick to meet with the media and announce what their plans were, which is kind of a deviation from what we saw previously under the Wilpons, where rumors could swirl for a long time before they were addressed. Alderson gets in front of the media on Monday. Steve Cohen's going to talk to the media on Tuesday or have an interview with, I believe it's Steve Gelb, so it'll go on SNY at 7 p.m. All that is to say that this was a good change for the Mets to be more vocal and upfront with the fans and the media and everyone else. Now, some of the biggest takeaways are related to the front office. It does not appear like there will be a president of baseball operations other than Sandy Alderson himself. He is going to be more involved in the baseball operations than we thought previously, which I think is fine. This is a guy that has about as much experience as anyone you would have been interviewing anyway. So have him run the team for a year, no problem there. And basically what happened here is the Mets were aiming very high. They were aiming for other presidents to make lateral moves, as Sandy said, to go from their teams and to take that same role with the Mets. And quite honestly, whether it was due to the COVID concerns and all the different things that went into it, it just wasn't feasible right now for the Mets to nab any of these guys. You're talking about, you know, Eric Neander with the Rays. He was not in consideration, or he was in consideration, but would not be interviewed. You talk about David Stearns. The Brewers would not allow the Mets to interview him. So these are things that happen, and kind of over time, it has made more sense for the Mets to go in a different direction, and they're going to hire a new general manager who could potentially grow into that role, but they're also going to leave the door open for a new president of baseball operations search following this season. So I think this is all signs of the Mets being proactive with what's available to them and not really panicking and maybe hiring the wrong guy for that specific position. Instead, they're going to look at the GMs, hire a GM. If that GM ends up being the guy eventually, okay, there you go. If not, we'll see what happens from there, and they could make another hire next year. And that obviously also opens the door for Theo Epstein, who has stepped down from his position with the Cubs, but said he's going to take a year off to potentially be the hire for the Mets in 2022. So with Alderson at the helm, he has also announced that Luis Rojas will be the manager of the Mets for the 2021 season. This is obviously good news for Rojas and the players who really respond to him well. He didn't get a fair shake this year. 60-game schedule, a lot of turmoil above him in the front office, a big distraction of the team sale as well. There was a lot of different people you can blame for the Mets' failures in 2020, and it's good to see Rojas get another chance. And as Alderson notes, he'll have more resources this year when it comes to analytics and things like that, so he can be a better in-game manager. And what Alderson does credit Rojas with is his ability to relate to players and the relationship he has built with those players. So bringing him back because of those relationships, I think it's a wise move. The Mets are going to be a lot different in 2021, but you can't overreact to things and just clean house to clean house. Considering how hard this search has already been for a new president of baseball operations, do you really want to go through a manager search as well? Or would you rather keep a little bit of continuity moving forward? And also, Sandy Alderson says the Mets have interviewed half a dozen candidates for that GM position, and all of them were okay with Rojas remaining as the manager, so that makes a lot of sense moving forward. Now, a couple of the other interesting notes throughout this press conference here, you had them talk about Michael Conforto. Alderson was asked if they had talked about a contract extension yet, and he says they have yet to discuss that with Scott Boras, but they will take the temperature, as Alderson says, of that conversation with Conforto and Boras later on in the offseason. So maybe we could see a potential extension, although there is some question right now as to whether that is the top priority, right? You have a lot of things you have to do. So it makes sense to push that conversation probably closer towards spring training. Around then, you can meet with them and decide. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for Conforto to play out this season as a contract year. And if he lives up to it and is awesome, well, then maybe the Mets sign him later. I think the risk of losing Conforto is a lot less now that you have Steve Cohen, because he can pay him if the Mets decide to go that route. So I don't think it's the worst thing if the Mets decide to let this thing play out for the season. I would like to see Conforto get that extension, but it just kind of depends on what they want. Do they want Conforto to get paid based off of his outstanding shortened season in 2020, or are they going to look at his entire career and maybe come to a more reasonable number? So we'll have to see how those conversations play out at a later date. Finally, Tim Tebow was mentioned during this press conference here, and it appears that Tebow will be back in the Mets minor league system in 2021. Alderson notes that he doesn't want to see Tebow's career end due to COVID, that this isn't the circumstance you'd want to see for this 33-year-old former quarterback turned outfielder to have to give up on his baseball dreams. I know there's some Mets fans who roll their eyes at the idea of Tim Tebow being in the minor leagues and ever making it to the New York Mets. And honestly, when it comes to the latter, I don't believe Tim Tebow will ever be a major leaguer. But I do not see any harm in him being in the minor leagues. It's not like the Mets have a great plethora of outfield prospects in AA or AAA that are taking up at bats, that are getting their development, you know, hindered due to the presence of Tim Tebow. And I happen to believe that Tim Tebow is an amazing human being who's also a world-class athlete that is probably giving these young guys he's spending time with amazing tips of habits to perform at the highest level, just as far as being an athlete and what it's like to be a professional. This is a guy in Tebow who has been a professional athlete since he was, what, 18, 19 years old, where he is the star of the biggest college football program at the time at University of Florida, the star quarterback winning Heismans and national championships. When you're talking about the scrutiny of that and what it took to perform at the highest of levels, I think that type of mentality really translates to all different facets of his life and in sports. And I believe having that type of a competitor in your clubhouse, regardless of the circumstances, I think it makes other people around him better. I'm totally cool with Tim Tebow playing in the Mets minor leagues for as long as he wants. If he wants to be a modern-day Crash Davis and play at Syracuse for the next 7 years for the Mets, by all means, go for it. It really isn't hurting anybody. Now, when we get back in just a minute here, I'm going to shift gears and talk about George Springer, go through his career and the numbers he's put up and what he could bring to the Mets as a free agent. looking at George Springer's career, he has really racked up the accolades playing for the Houston Astros. Three-time All-Star, 2017 World Series champion, for which he won the World Series MVP. That is now the stained and infamous World Series with the cheating scandal. But Springer is still an outstanding player in spite of all of that. He's won two Silver Sluggers. He can play center field. He's also played a lot of right field in his career, which I learned going through this tonight. But this is a guy that can come to the Mets right now and be the best center fielder they've had since Carlos Beltran. It's just that simple. Springer was drafted in 2011 with the 11th overall pick. He made his debut in 2014 at 24 years old. Hit 20 home runs that season with 51 RBIs, 45 runs scored. Batted .231 with a .804 OPS. Ended up finishing 8th in the Rookie of the Year voting. The following season, Springer played in 102 games. Hit .276 with a .367 on base percentage, a .459 slugging percentage, and an .826 OPS. Only had 16 home runs, 41 RBIs, and 59 runs scored, but was still a very solid player, set a career high with 16 stolen bases. From there, we get a stretch from 2016 through 2019 where Springer is just a remarkably consistent and excellent player throughout. Scores over 100 runs in each of those seasons. Well, actually, the final year of that, scored 96. But you look at the run scored, 2016, 116 runs. 17, it's 112. And 18, it's 102. The guy is scoring runs. He's producing runs, averaging over 80 RBIs per season. Eclipses 20 home runs in each of those campaigns. Wins his Silver Sluggers in 2017 and 2019. Was an All-Star from 17 through 19. Might have been an All-Star this year as well. Ended up finishing 13th in the MVP voting. Had a very solid season with 14 home runs and 32 RBIs across 51 games played. Scored 37 runs. Hit .265 with a .359 on base percentage, a .540 slugging percentage, and an .899 OPS. If you look at his averages throughout his career, his average OPS plus is 131. If you remember, OPS plus is based on a league average of 100. So that shows you he has been above average every single season of his career. His lowest OPS plus came in 2018 and it was 114. Other than that, he has been well above 120 each season. So a very solid offensive player. His career OPS is .852. That's a combination of your on-base percentage and your slugging percentage. And his on-base percentage for his career is .361. Anything over .350 is excellent. His slugging percentage for his career is .491. Anything over .450 is very good. If you get close to a .500 slugging percentage, you're an outstanding power hitter, and that's what Springer has been throughout his career. He's racked up 174 home runs in his 7 seasons. He has 458 RBIs during that span. He's just been a run producer, an overall solid offensive player, a guy that can hit at the top of your lineup, in the middle of your lineup. He is just a very complete batter, and I know you can have your concerns about the fact that he's played with the Astros and the cheating and all that, but look, he just had a season with an .899 OPS on the other side of the cheating scandal. I think he's still an outstanding offensive player. And you go to his career, and he has shined in the playoffs. I know that detractors will once again bring up the cheating and all of that, but you're still talking about a guy that throughout his career has an .895 postseason OPS. And if you go to his batting average, it's a point off his regular season numbers. His on-base percentage is comparable. His slugging percentage is even better in the postseason than it has been in the regular season. But the one thing I look for when you're talking about a player that has as much postseason experience as George Springer, and you're talking about 63 games played and nearly 300 plate appearances, You want to look and see, is he the same guy in the postseason as he is in the regular season? And Springer is that. And I think that is a good sign moving forward that he will continue to produce in the postseason. The heart rate isn't spiking for a guy like George Springer. He's been there before and he's produced. You go to some of his advanced numbers this season, just going through the percentiles, his expected slugging percentage was in the 95th percentile, expected batting average in the 92nd percentile, strikeout rate in the 78th percentile, walk rate in the 71st percentile. I mean, you go up and down the board, this is a guy that's above average. There's really no other way to describe it. With all that being said, let's look at the defense. Because I think that is the area that some people look at with Springer and say, how big of an upgrade is he over a Brandon Nimmo? Because Brandon Nimmo can hit. He is free right now as far as you don't need to spend any extra money to get him. You don't need to trade any prospects. Brandon Nimmo is a guy that is ready to be your opening day center fielder and produce at an above average clip. But the defense is the concern. How much of an upgrade is George Springer? Well, here's what I'll say. Based on outs above average, which is my favorite of the defensive metrics, he has been up and down throughout his career, but he was worth 8 outs above average in 2019. 5 outs above average of that came in right field. 3 of them came in center field. This year, he almost exclusively played center field and was worth 1 out above average. So this is not the outstanding gold glove guy, but I do believe he is an upgrade over Brandon Nimmo. It might be slight, it might not be as great as bringing in a real defensive first guy, but when you look at everything he's bringing offensively, this is a huge addition the Mets could potentially add. Now, throughout the rest of the week, I will continue to talk about how George Springer fits with the Mets. On tomorrow's show, I'm going to go through whatever revelations we learn from Steve Cohen's interview on SNY, but I will also go through the free agent market, even the trade market, and look at some other potential center fielders the Mets could target this offseason. Then we will have no show on Thursday for Thanksgiving, and Friday I'll be back giving you my final analysis on whether the Mets should sign George Springer, how he fits with this roster, and what type of contract he can expect. But that'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. You can also always tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.